Church. I am so glad so many of you found your way through the time change this morning. And if we have anyone who fumbles in about an hour, just no staring. So well, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this church family. And a few of the ways you can learn more about how we are church together, take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar in there. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And don't forget, at some point, those hospitality registers are in your pews. If you would, please sign them, pass them along so that we can greet one another by name. We have a few announcements this morning. Barb, why don't you get us started?
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Snaith, and I actually have two announcements. So my first announcement is being a member of the Spiritual Journey team. We have our first journey on Wednesday, April 13th at the Y on Elm Grove Road at 7 o'clock. It will be a single leg journey, dealing with spirituality. What is it? Who has it? How do we recognize it? And how do we grow it? How do we make it a part of our gatherings together? Our journey guide will be Dr. Rebecca Letterman, Associate Professor of Spiritual Formation at Northeastern Seminary. In the GPC's new governance model, one core value ministry is spiritual growth. And one of the teams in this ministry is Spiritual Journeys. This session will help us towards a common understanding of spirituality. So please join us that evening. It will only be a dollar, and there will be people, somebody in the fellowship hall or out in this area here selling tickets. The second announcement that I have is there's an annual women's retreat this year, one day, on Saturday, April 23rd, at Colgate Rochester Divinity from 9 to 4. We're going to be combining it this year with Laurelton Church that Katie preaches at, and I understand there's been women signing up over there as well. There's a sign-up sheet out in the kiosk. It'll be $30 a person. It'll cover continental breakfast and lunch. We hope to see you there. Thank you.
Morning. Next week we have youth group, and both sessions will be a little different. So junior highs, stay here right after Sunday school. We'll have pizza and then go to the mall for a mall scavenger hunt. So get your camera phones and get ready. Senior highs, we're going to be serving dinner out at the Reach Shelter. And so come here to church at 3:30 to cook together, and then we'll go over there and serve and be back here by 7. Hope you can join us.
Good morning. This evening, we are serving the group of college students that are here in town for a mission project. The sign-up sheet on the kiosk is pretty full, so thank you very much for all that. We'll be cooking at 3, serving. We're not going to meet till 6. It says 5 on the kiosk, but I heard from the group that their schedule is shifted a little bit later. So servers here at 6 will serve and then clean up and send them on their way tomorrow. Thanks. Bye.
Did you have an announcement? Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Tess McKeel. Kathy Wakeman asked me to stand up here and announce about the time and talent sheets, and unfortunately, I don't have a cute real announcement like she did last week, but we are still collecting time and talent sheets. If you could write a C on the sheet next to the item if you're currently serving, an S if you would like to serve, and a K if you would just like to know more about it. So we've got the table out in the narthex. If you could stop by there on your way out today, that would be great.
Thanks. Fabulous. Thank you. I thought you were sitting in a different neighborhood over there. Also, part of our worship series this Lenten season, Welcome Home, is to include information and stories and ways you can be more involved with the various mission components of our life together here at GPC. And here this morning to share with us a little bit about Habitat for Humanity is Tracy Berkovich.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad that I have my friend, the house, up here to help me a little bit. I've participated in the Women Build program for almost 4 years, mostly as a team participant and builder. I am, however, at the end of my term on the steering committee as treasurer, imagine that. The Women Build program is a way to empower women to come together for a common goal. Habitat's kind of tagline is hand up and not a hand out. And the women really appreciate this because it's definitely not a free home for people. They do have to work for it. And the women like their theme is give a woman a power tool and she can change the world. As I mentioned, potential owners have to put in 300 hours of sweat equity, and they also take classes in financial literacy, home maintenance, as well as participating in community service around the neighborhood. They do have to qualify for a nonprofit mortgage as well. And the Women Build program raises $65,000 through not only corporate donations, but as well as build teams of 6 to 8 women that do fundraising as well. Currently, we have about a dozen teams, but in past years, they've had between 25 and 50 teams as well. So really kind of a core group that has kind of continued year after year to support this program. This empowers women at all types of skill levels to be able to be on a work site and learn different skills. You're learning alongside folks from Habitat. You know, they're teaching you things. There's no shortage of, power tools, wood, paintbrushes, shovels, concrete forms, which, if you want to work out, come on that day. And even backhoes. Yes, I did check that off my bucket list. Having started in 1995 with financial support from women executives in Rochester, our Women Build program is one of the most successful in the nation. We've actually built over a dozen homes in Rochester, in addition to the over 200 with the Flower City Habitat program. Part of the success of the program is the main goal of putting families in homes. A major statistic that the Women Build program loves is that we provide a safe home environment for children, and the graduation rate of children in Habitat homes is almost double that in the city school district, with a dropout rate of almost 45%. Neighborhoods are greatly improved with the presence of Habitat homes. If you walk down any of the streets that those Habitat homes are on, you can pick them out and you can tell which ones they are. Folks really take pride in the ownership of the homes, as well as kind of lift up the rest of the neighborhood as well through not only the excitement of the build season, but just their presence in the neighborhood. The GPC mission team has helped out quite a bit over the last couple of years with financial donations, and I've also received individual donations as well through online giving. So if you have any questions about any of the information, you can visit rochesterhabitat.org or catch me after service. Thanks.
Thank you, Tracy, and to all those who have provided moments for mission to help us to learn more about the ways we can be involved. Now, let us gather ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our entire beings, to worship our holy God.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able, and join me in the call to worship. We seek to have open hearts, open minds, and open doors. We are working to move beyond opening our hearts to love only those who look like us. Would we go so far as to tear open a roof so all can experience God's love? The essence of our faith create opening in our church and in our community where all are welcome. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty and creating God, we come before you today as people who are separated from one another by fear, prejudice, and ignorance. By our language, actions, and facilities, we declare insiders and outsiders in our church. Forgive us and create in us the vision of the loved minds and doors, and yes, even our roof, as wide as the love of God, so that no one is left outside. Help us to reach beyond ourselves to discover the joy of community. Give us the patience to discover that all people have gifts and abilities to share with our community of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment for your silent prayers of confession. With forgiveness comes freedom to make different choices, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. In receiving the gift of forgiveness and life, may we be merciful to others, just as God has been merciful to us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
of the children please come forward and join me up front?
Nice purse. Well, hey, everybody. I've got a joke today. It's a knock-knock joke, so are you ready? All right. Knock-knock. Interrupting cow. Moo. Do you guys like being interrupted? No. You don't like it? It is, right? It's one of my favorites. So today, our Bible study is all about when Jesus got interrupted. Jesus was inside of a house, and he was preaching to his friends, and there were so many people inside that no one could fit in the door. It was packed. But there were more people who wanted to meet Jesus because their friend was sick, and they needed Jesus to heal him. So you know what they did? They interrupted. They climbed up on the roof, and they put a big hole in the roof. And they lowered their friend through the roof, right down to Jesus. Do you think Jesus liked being interrupted? He did! He really liked being interrupted. I know, right? Jesus is the only one. But Jesus was so happy to meet somebody who needed his help. And he healed that sick man so he was better and talked to him and got to know him. Jesus is always happy to talk to you, too. So anytime that you're worried or scared or you have something important to tell God, you can always pray to God. Because anytime, no matter what, day or night, God always wants to hear from you. Did you know that? All right, let's go ahead and pray together, okay? Dear God, thank you for listening. We love you, God. Amen. Now don't move. Today's a special day. We've got a baptism today. We're welcoming brand new baby Aubrey into our family. So just go ahead and turn around so that you've got the best spot to watch, okay?
You guys want to walk around? Down, yeah. And slide down.
There we go.
How about come on. There we go. And while you guys are sliding and then sitting, I'm going to invite Aubrey Rose, daughter of Jason and Jessica Millington, to the font. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the close of the age.
Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of this session, I present Aubrey Rose, daughter of Jason and Jessica Millington, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Jessica, Jason, do you desire for Aubrey to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Aubrey by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ, to be a faithful member of this church? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Jason and Jessica, presenting Aubrey for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we baptize. Jessica and Jason, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend for Aubrey to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By the power, by your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. What is the name of your child? Hello, sweet baby girl. Here, we're going to have to switch you around because I think Mom and Dad want to see you too. There. Well, yes. Hi. All right. Aubrey Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. This is a child of God and is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See what God has given all of us? We are all children. Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Aubrey. Watch over her. Guide her as she grows in faith. Give her understanding and quick concern for neighbors. Help her to be a true disciple of your Son, Jesus, who is baptized by your Son and servant, who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Jason and Jessica. Help them to know you and your love. Help them to teach your truth and to tell the stories of your Son, Jesus, to their child. Holy God, remind us all of the promises given in our baptisms and renew our trust in you this and every day. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and sing together Wonders of Wonders while I introduce you to sweet little Aubrey. She's sleeping now. She's still wide awake. I'll bring her. right, we're making our way around.
Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 127. Listen now for God's word. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This is God's word for us today.
Our second reading of the word comes from the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front door, and he was speaking the word to them. And then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has an authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Norman Wurzba is professor of theology and ecology at Duke University, at Duke Divinity School. And he recently published a book called The Way of Love, Recovering the Heart of Christianity. And in this book, Norman tells a story of when he was living and working in a small college community in Georgetown, Kentucky. There was a new professor and his family who moved into town. His name was Mark, and Mark and Norman became fast friends, sharing professional interests and hobbies and a community of faith. Well, Mark and his family had not been in Georgetown too long when a nagging cough was diagnosed as an advanced stage of cancer. The church community knew that the family had not had time to establish networks of friends and support in the area, and they stepped up in some amazing ways. They recognized the challenge of an illness or disability is more than just confronting one's own mortality. It is the loneliness that can accompany such a journey. Because no one can ever truly know, right, what someone's going through. Even if we're facing the same exact disease or living with the same disability, loneliness seems to creep in at the edges of our lives and sometimes just crashes over us in waves. Those endless doctor's appointments and hospital visits, feeling like we're just another test result, form to fill out, or symptom to manage. Having to explain over and over and over again to yet another person why our hands shake, our head is bald, or our energy is non-existent. There's the constant readjustment of the expectations we have for ourselves, for our life, or even just that day. That life around us seems to just march on by like nothing has changed, but for us, everything has. And then those defense mechanisms get engaged, right? We begin to build up those walls around ourselves and shut people out. People and their ridiculous questions. People and their, well-meaning but misguided stories about themselves or other people that they know, the cousin of a cousin of a cousin who's in a similar situation. Even the people who love us the most. We tend to think we're alone in all of this. And the members of Mark's church knew this. And they stepped up to help with the practical matters, as many churches do, with meals and cleaning and transporting Mark to and from doctor's appointments, getting their boys picked up from school activities. See, but this church family also committed themselves to being with Mark, to sitting with him, so he wouldn't be alone. People who barely knew the family sat at bedsides, in hospital waiting rooms, shared in worry and fear and also their hope. And one day Mark shared with his church that when it became known that I was sick, I found myself surrounded by the light of love from people who hardly knew me. My family was flooded with prayers and food and cards and the assurance we were not alone. It was as if there were 1,000 arms of love reaching out to us, picking us up, carrying us. And I knew I was in the presence of God. I felt that I had been overtaken by the kingdom of God and allowed briefly to look inside, to experience for just a moment the love and joy of God's kingdom. He also talks about one night while he was sleeping, his wife Lisa looked over and wondered how she was going to manage to live without him. Not knowing what she was thinking, Mark rolled over and woke up and just said to her, "I have never felt such joy and peace in all my life." They talked about how God was making it possible for them to approach this terrible time with joy and peace, and how Mark was the beneficiary of a healing heart that freed him to see all those around him as gifts of God. When I first read Mark's story, I immediately connected it to Gates Presbyterian Church. I thought, this is our church. This could be our church. Those baptismal vows that we just said yes to for Aubrey are the same vows that run in and through our hearts and minds with everyone gathered in this room, whether they've been sitting in this pew their whole life or have just stumbled in for the first time. Yes, there are those great practical matters that we do so well at, the meals, the cards, the prayers. But then I hear those stories of the ways in which this church family is with someone through an illness, the death of a loved one. And we hear during the prayers of joy and concern almost every single Sunday, thank you, church family. I felt less alone in this journey because of you. In hearing the gospel story this morning, I know that you have often, and I have often preached it from the perspective of how we can be and are one of the four, right? One of the four who is busting through the barriers, like loneliness, the separation from experiencing the love and joy of Christ's kingdom. And we are, right? We are, in fact, called to these ministries of care and compassion, working together so that all God's children will feel welcomed and nurtured in a faith community. And these are great sermons. It's not the sermon this morning. Not at all. Because here's the message that I think that many of us are struggling with today. We don't want to be the person on the mat. Right? None of us want to be that person. In an ideal world, no one would ever get cancer or need to use a wheelchair or need to be up all night with chronic pain or can't get out of bed in the morning because of depression. In an ideal world, we would all be able to see perfectly without the blurriness or the darkness. We would be able to hear our grandchildren whisper and giggle clearly. We would be able to make it through our daily to-do lists without taking a break. In an ideal world, there would be no RA, ADD, ALS, MS, IBS, COPD, HIV, insert acronym, wherever. Because in an ideal world, we wouldn't need all of these acronyms. We don't have an ideal world. We've got the laws of nature that tells us when you take away an hour of sleep, our bodies can feel it. Physiology tells us that our bodies get sick, our bodies will die, and we can try as hard as we want to ignore that. We can pretend we won't be that person on the mat. We can try. I might know a person or two who try really hard to pretend they're not the person on the mat. I may even be such a person. And even when we are on the mat, we do try to deflect all that attention of those who have come to carry us. Right? Because we know that there are people in the world who have troubles bigger than we do, or we just don't want to bother them. Because it seems like an awful lot of trouble to bust through a roof and lower us down to Jesus. And these are just the altruistic reasons that we tell people. Because those sound a lot better than fumbling through the humiliation and shame we feel. Because when we're honest, we know we've bought into these notions that ultimately we're capable of saving ourselves, carrying ourselves on the mat. We've gotten so good at covering it up with that fake it until you make it, grin and bear it attitude. But when we only see ourselves as the people carrying the mat, we're really missing the heart of the gospel message this morning. We take a moment, no matter how short that moment may be that we are capable of, and we're on that mat and we feel that loneliness. It is in that moment the opportunity to truly experience God's presence surround us. Through the love of others can happen. When our broken and hurting and suffering bodies are the ones laying on the mat, Jesus touches us, heals us, forgives us, restores us, reconciles us, gives us life with him forever. And the Bible teaches us over and over and over again that human beings don't do such a good job trying to save ourselves. And the good news is, we don't have to. The conversion from seeing ourselves as one of the four carrying the mat and digging through the roof to realizing that we are the person on the mat is learning to accept the abundance that comes from receiving from others, rather than assuming all good can only come from oneself. When we do that, we too might be amazed overtaken by the opportunity to briefly look inside and experience for just that moment the love and joy of God welcoming us home. May it be so for me, for you, for all God's people. Amen.
Now is the time in our service when we get to lift up the things that fill us with joy and give thanks for them together. And also lift up the people that we love so much who need some extra prayer. Who has something they'd like to share with us today?
Bob Benko, I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister Linda, who's had two major back surgeries in the last 2 weeks and is still in a lot of pain.
My name is Christy Stewart. I'd like to ask prayers for my daughter Sheila and her husband John, who lost a dear friend Adam to suicide this week. And just ask that you remember all the veterans, because their wounds are deep, their scars are deep from war, and they never seem to end sometimes for some people. So please pray for Adam and his family.
We've been praying for my friends Paul and Lisa. Paul lost his battle to cancer this week, and I just asked for prayers for his family and that Lisa has the strength to continue her battle with cancer, as she's the only parent the kids still have. So thank you.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I have two requests this morning. First, many of you probably know the Rowe family, John and Beth Rowe. Beth was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and underwent surgery Friday. The surgery went well, but she is going to be facing chemotherapy in the days to come, so please hold Beth in your prayers. And secondly, I have a joy that my daughter Ashley and daughter-in-law Katie have now become certified foster parents, and they get a call from a social worker at Strong Thursday that they have a preemie who is now 4 months old and in need of a home. So Ashley and Katie said yes, they will open their home and take in baby Juan. So please pray for Ashley and Katie and Juan as he hopefully comes home with them today.
Oh, yay. There you go.
Gary Dykes, some of you may have heard some of the legal stuff that is happening with my brother-in-law, which is a good thing. They've been waiting for a long time for something to happen. And we don't know specifics. I know pieces and parts. But things are happening, and they're very thankful for that. It's been an awful long time. He's been in awful long time. If you talk to him, you know, everything is great. You know, look what I can do today. I can do this and do that. And he's got a long way to go, but he has a really good attitude. Just like to thank everyone for all their prayers and continue prayers, because this is still going to be a long, long path. Thank you.
Prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for birthdays, birthday parties, Easter candy. Prayers of concern for sadness in grandparents leaving today and sore legs because of softball practice starting. From our first and third graders, their prayers of concern for bruises and scrapes on knees, for being sick and missing church, but glad to be back. Prayers for a CT scan tomorrow. Prayers of joy for a new bed, for feeling better, for birthdays, Beauty and the Beast play, and I think this one's my favorite. Prayers of joy for finding the legs to C-3PO. Amen. Amen.
Let us all pray together. God of steadfast love and faithfulness, we gather here in your house and flourish in your presence. We hear your words of life and hope, and we are strengthened in joy. As you led your people long ago, continue to lead us home to you and paths of peace. Because we know how quickly things can change in this life, we pause to offer our prayers of petition. We lift up to you those who are in need of healing from illness, those who endure chronic pain, and those who are in recovery, whether long or short. Grant strength and healing to them, and uphold all who care for them, doctors and nurses, families and friends. We are grateful, and we lift up before you those who are in need of your comfort and your encouragement. To those who are weighed down by anxiety, bring the light and peace of your presence and grant them courage. Keep us from ostracizing people into places of exclusion, and teach us instead to build community across divides until every person is free to come together in peace. We also bring to you, O God, our joys and our celebrations. We give you thanks for special celebrations and other milestones reached in our lives. We are grateful for Aubrey Rose. We celebrate her baptism today as we welcome her into our church family. Thank you, Holy God, the chance to welcome all of your children with love. All of these prayers we offer with confidence, knowing that your grace is there for every one of us. We pray in Jesus' name, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's continue our time of worship and bring our gifts and offer them back to God with our morning offering.
Please pray with me. God of grace, it is our delight and our devotion to give these gifts to you. Accept this joyful offering as a token of our abiding love. Use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to all the world. Amen.
Our journey to Holy Week is fast approaching. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Also, just a reminder that if anyone took fish banks home with them, next Sunday is the Sunday to bring them back. And then we will journey with Jesus into the upper room, to the cross, and to Easter morning. But for now, we go back into the world knowing that we may be the person on the mat. We may be the one carrying the mat, but God's love is for each and every one of us. Know the goodness of God's grace, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.